14 in your Bible, Acts chapter 14. We're going to keep on in our series this morning on the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 14, we're going to get down toward the end of this chapter today, verses 19 through 22. A couple of the verses are repetitive from last week. We pick up the story as Paul was stoned outside of Lystra, left for dead. We're on a different topic this morning, Acts 14, verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. So find that scripture verse. And let's stand, please, together in honor of God's good book here. We'll read responsively. You please join me on the even verses as we read 19 through 22. Our Bible says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Let's pray together. Lord, open your word to us this morning. May our eyes behold wondrous things from it. Our souls need to be fed. Your book says about itself, it's meat, it's bread, it's milk, it's honey. And Lord, we could live physically on those nutritious things. And truly, we can live spiritually and grow spiritually. And we can be brought to Christ by the nutrition of your word. So help me this morning as we preach it. May you get honor and glory to yourself. Bless the singers and the message to follow in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Give us free bread each day. Just like our fathers have, as they journey through the wilderness. But this is what Jesus had to say. He said, "I am, I'm the bread of life. You will never grow hungry. I am never thirst again. I'm your father, child, I know you by name. I am, and I never change. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the same as he was back then.
I want to speak to them. I was shaking hands with people prior to the, Brother Greg, something's real loud and all of a sudden in the last 5 or 10 minutes here. I was talking to some people before Sunday school this morning, welcoming folks in, shook hands with the brother, and I said, "How's it going?" And I hadn't talked to him since last Sunday, hadn't seen him. He said, it's been a little rocky. And I thought, oh boy, I hope he don't think I'm preaching to him this morning. But I'm preaching on when the road gets rocky. Amen. When the road gets rocky. That's what I want to preach on today. I have this subject picked out, of course, on the text here out of Acts chapter 14. When the road gets rocky. They stoned Paul. I thought Brother Nemeth would appreciate that little pun there. Amen. They stoned Paul. So what happens when the road gets rocky? We'll talk about that today. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you so much for the privilege to have this service. Now, I pray that you'll open our eyes. As I asked earlier, show us some things out of your word that'll help us today. I'll be careful to thank you for it. Speak to the heart, Lord, that needs it the most this morning. And then, dear Father, some folk may put this in a bank, a file, to be called on in years ahead or months ahead, maybe weeks ahead. We don't know when we'll need it. So speak through your word this morning. I ask in Jesus' name and amen. Last week we learned about Paul's out-of-body experience after he was stoned. You remember he was drug outside the city and was left for dead while he was there preaching in Lystra. They came against him and first of all, they were going to worship him. Him and Paul were going to bow down and offer sacrifices. But then the next hour they were going to stone him. And they did stone him, tried to kill him. And so here he was. Now remember that during that experience, he was caught up to the third heaven, the Bible says. We talked about that last week. He was caught up to paradise. He heard things, unspeakable words, which would not be right to speak about in public. And we talked last week when somebody says, you know, I can't talk about those things in public, usually they mean it's because things are so ugly or vile or wicked, you can't talk about it in a mixed crowd. Paul said, I heard things so wonderful. Paul said, I heard things so marvelous. Paul said, I heard things so magnificent. It would not be right for me to talk about it in public. Can you imagine that? What he must have heard. What you and I are going to hear someday when we go to heaven. Now, today, this morning, I want us to spend our time thinking about the aspect of this event that all of us will encounter. You see, listen, not many of us will encounter an out-of-body experience at death and come back to tell about it. You know, I said last week, people say, how come we don't hear about many of these out-of-body experiences where people see heaven and then they come back and they talk about it? Because most people go on to heaven and stay there. Most people die. But occasionally somebody comes back. They're real nigh death. They're close. I mean, one breath away, but they come back. And by the way, somebody told me, it was either an article in the paper or something that I missed. It was just the opposite. It was an out-of-body experience where a man got about a few feet from hell. I mean, he could smell the fire and feel the heat, and he came back to his body, and he got saved. I would suggest that you do that if you're not saved. Because, friends, when we leave this world, we're going somewhere, one of two places. It's heaven or hell, one or the other. And we'll be there quicker than you can snap a finger, I'll promise you. That's the honest truth. And I've seen people die both ways. I've seen people die who are on their way to heaven, and I've seen people die who are on their way, who ended up in hell. And I'm going to tell you, it's not pleasant. Out-of-body experience. Now, not all of us are going to have an out-of-body experience and come back to tell about it. But here is the aspect that will happen to each one of us. All of us will face adversity as we run our race in this life. That's what Paul experienced here. He experienced adversity, and so will every child of God. That's what Paul meant at the end of verse number 22. Look at it. The last phrase of verse number 22. He said, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Paul is not saying that you go through trial and you go through tribulation in order to get saved. That's not what he's saying. That's not taught in the Bible. The only thing necessary for salvation is, as I preached last Sunday morning, repentance and faith. That's the only thing you must go through in order to go to heaven. You don't have to go through trials and testings and adversities to earn your trip to heaven. You can't do that. I don't care how severe trouble may be down here. You can't go through enough trouble to earn heaven, because heaven can't be earned. It can't be purchased that way. But you must have repentance and faith. And I said one thing. I'll emphasize that again. It's not months and months and months and months of you trying to work up a sorrowful spirit and then trusting in Jesus Christ. It's turning from whatever you've been holding on to, letting go of that, turning from it to receive Jesus Christ and Him only as your personal Savior. The Bible teaches that that is repentance and faith. It's two sides of the same coin. Okay? A coin has a heads and it has a tails. And salvation has repentance and faith. It's one act of faith. It's one act that brings salvation. And you can't save yourself. You can't turn to Christ on your own. That's why Jesus came. I tell people when I'm witnessing to them, if we could get saved on our own, Jesus Christ lived one of the most defeated lives you could possibly live. If we could earn our way to heaven, why would He go through the crucifixion? Why would He die like that and bear our sins? No, the reason He did that, folks, is because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. Okay? Now, that's repentance of faith. But look, you don't go through salvation. I mean, see, you don't go through trial and testing and tribulation and earn your way to heaven. That's not what He's saying here. What He's saying here is this. After salvation, after you're saved, on your journey to the kingdom of God, we are plainly told, no doubt about it, we're going to go through much tribulation on our journey into the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to enter heaven as soon as we leave this earth. So what Paul is saying here is, Christian friend, you're going to go through much tribulation on your journey of growing in grace and serving God in this life. Prior to heaven, thank God, when we get to heaven, all adversity will be over. It'll end. There'll be no adversity in heaven. There'll be no trouble. There'll be no tribulation, no trials. But until we get there, there's going to be difficulties and setbacks and adversities. You're going to face them, and people are going to go through much tribulation on their way to the kingdom of God. Adversity and trial and tribulation and testing showed up during the Apostle Paul's journey over and over and over and over again. This incident here, folks, was one of many. Just one of many. Hold a finger in Acts chapter 14. Put something there to save your place. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I got to lay the foundation of this thing and get to my message here, so we're going to have to move quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me show you Paul's testimony about his journey in this life. And see what you think about it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. Paul here is giving testimony about his ministry as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Are you there? Are you found 2 Corinthians 11? Okay, look at verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. Now watch this. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. He's talking about what he went through. Look at the next verse. Of the Jews 5 times... received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he was beaten 5 times, 40 stripes, save or minus one. 40 minus one is 39. 5 different times, Paul was beaten with 39 stripes. Do you have another person in the Bible that was beaten with 39 stripes? Jesus. That happened to Jesus once. Now, that's bad enough. It happened to Paul 5 times. Are you with me this morning, church? You see that? 5 times. Look at verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. We know when that happened, don't we? We read it this morning, Acts 14, outside of Lystra. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Acts 27. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Acts 27. Look at what he said in 26. In journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, watchings often. That means he did without sleep. Watchings. Watch through the night. Watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Do you see all of these other incidents that are on the list here? I would suggest to you, friend, I think you go back to Acts 14. I think you can plainly see that Paul went through some adversity on his journey to the kingdom of God. Amen? Sure he did. I mean, we're talking about one incident. He got stoned. That was one incident. One incident of many on his journey to the kingdom of God. Now, this particular incident was especially cruel. It was stoning. Listen very carefully. In Bible times, they had 2 forms of stoning people that were common. In some cases, they would take a criminal or take somebody who'd been accused of doing wrong, and they would throw him over a steep embankment, and when his body crashed, of course, to the ground, he would die, and then they would take a huge rock and roll it on top of him. Or they would do what they did to the Apostle Paul here. They would condemn the person. The person would be taken out of the city. He would be forced to admit his wrong. And then those who brought the accusations against him would throw the first rocks. Remember the lady that was taken in the act of adultery who came to the feet of Jesus? And the Pharisees said, "Stone her." And Jesus said, "Okay, those of you, those of you without sin, you throw the first rock. You throw the first rock." That was the practice. The accuser was to throw the first rock. Then, listen, then they took the stoned, bloodied body and they hung it up in public until sunset of the day of the stoning. Now, Paul didn't quite get that kind of treatment. In fact, he got worse. He never had an opportunity to defend himself. He wasn't taken outside of the city. He was stoned in the city in a mad rage. A mad rage. Folks, look, these people were passionate people. Don't forget, just the 3 hours earlier, 4 hours earlier, they were going to sacrifice some animals and worship and call Paul Mercurius and Jupiter. They're passionate people. They're emotional people. Now in a fit of rage, they take rocks and they stone the man. He's supposedly dead. They drag him outside the city and they leave him to die a cruel death on the sandy soil there in the Palestinian country. That's what happened to Paul in this place. I mean, cruel. Cruel. And adversity. All of this because he was a robber? All of this because he was a raper? All of this because he was rowdy or rebellious? No. All of this because he was righteous. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it got under their skin. He healed a man and they took him and they stoned him. I'm talking about adversity. Adversity. Let me show you some things about adversity this morning. Because the Bible says every Christian's going to go through it. Every Christian's going to face adversity. Through much tribulation, you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Now look with the number one here. Adversity comes to people who do right. Let me ask you a few questions. Is it right to preach Christ? Is it right to witness for Him? Is it right to win souls? Is it right to serve God? Sure it is. And Paul was doing all of those things. He was preaching Christ. He was witnessing. He was winning souls. He was trying to establish churches. He was serving God. Listen, serving God does not exempt us from adversity. In fact, serving God ensures that you will experience some form of adversity. It's going to come. You're going to go through it. There's going to be some test, some trial, some tribulation. Paul wrote to Timothy later on in his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, don't turn there now. We'll look at it later. Verses 10, 11, and 12. And here's what he told Timothy. Listen, he said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, persecutions and afflictions," listen, "which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra." What happened at Lystra? He got stoned. But did you understand, friend? He said Iconium, he said Antioch, he said Lystra, he said place after place after place after place after place after place. Everywhere I went, I faced adversity. And then Paul said, "Yes, yea, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Adversity comes to people who are doing right. Has adversity come to you while you're doing right? Has adversity come to you while you're serving God? Has adversity come to you while you've been trying to establish a good marriage, while you're trying to rear a family for Christ, while you're keeping a good name at work, working long hours and putting in extra time to please your boss? Has adversity come to you while you've tried to serve Christ? Has adversity come to you? It comes to people who do right. You know, a lot of folks get saved and they immediately, they get under the impression mentally that, oh boy, now that I'm saved, all my troubles are going to be over. It's going to be much easier now that I'm saved. Well, let me tell you something. It's going to be much better than now that you're saved, but it may not be easier. It may not be easier. In fact, it could be rougher. Spurgeon said this, "If we reckon upon a smooth path to heaven, we deceive ourselves." Do you hear that? If we reckon upon a smooth path to heaven, we deceive ourselves. Sometimes adversity comes from family. Boy, that's not easy to take. I remember some years ago, some of you that were here back in the old building will remember this. It was during our first God Save America revival regional campaign that we hosted, I think it was the first one we ever had. The one that we had with Dwight over at First Baptist Church there. And we were planning, we had a conference on Thursday and Friday and a conference on Monday and Tuesday. It was different. It was completely different. Never done a thing. We did it four times. I don't know if we'd ever try that again now or not. It was incredible. Huge crowds of people came here and there. We had tremendous services. Now, that first year, we had services Thursday and Friday. We planned a great big day on Sunday. And I think it was on Thursday or Friday, the DOT showed up with his sticker book and he red stickered all but one of our buses. All but one of them. They all had some kind of minor problems with them. And so we had to call all the men of the church together. Some of you guys remember that. We had a great big work day on Saturday. And we all came and we prepared and worked on those buses and we got them ready to pass inspection so that we could use them. And there was a lady in the church then who had just gotten saved. She was so pumped about being saved and the Bible becoming real to her and having the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in her life. And I mean, buddy, she gave evidence of true salvation. She was just excited. And on that day, she made a bunch of food on her own. She just made a bunch of food and brought it for all the fellows who were working on the buses that day on her own. She just did it out of the goodness of her heart. She's so excited. She just wanted to do something. But her husband wasn't saved. And oh my goodness, that irritated him. And I mean, it fried him. And I mean, it bothered him. And he got ugly and he shut her down. And Greg Payne and I took a trip with him. Remember that, Brother Greg? We made a trip up to O'Hare Airport to look at a bus that he heard about and for the sole purpose of trying to talk to that man. And he, you know, claimed to be saved and all this, but his testimony didn't ring true with the Bible. And I mean, he got vehement and adamant about her serving God. And I mean, buddy, just really shut her down. Basically said, you may not go to church. And I told ladies over the years whose husbands don't attend here, unless your husband just forbids you to come, keep coming. But if your husband ever drops the hammer and says, absolutely not, you obey your husband. I told people that. You obey your husband. They drop the hammer and say, absolutely not, you may. That's what he did, man. He dropped, and I remember how discouraged she was. I mean discouraged. And then, you know, he said, well, I'll go to church with you at my church. And they started going to some other church. And I'll be honest with you, lost track, don't know what happened to her. She's in. But adversity came. Sometimes from family. Sometimes it comes from fellow workers. People have gotten saved. They go to work on Monday morning. They say, man, guess what? I got saved. You got what? And you think everybody ought to rejoice with you because you're happy. Man, your sins are forgiven. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you go tell your coworkers about it and they think you're crazy. You don't have to get saved. Sometimes all you got to do is visit the church. And you're nuts. And adversity comes. Sometimes it comes from friends. Sometimes it comes from other sources. These are just a few examples. But listen very carefully. Adversity comes from people who do right. It comes to people who do right from all kinds of sources. If you're going through adversity this morning, and we talked Wednesday night about one of the evidences of salvation is the chastening of the believer. If you endure chastisement, that's pretty good evidence that you're saved. But listen very carefully. Just when somebody experiences adversity or difficulty doesn't mean that they're living wrong. Adversity comes to people who are living right. You show me what Paul was doing wrong. And he got stoned for it. Put one thing on Paul, what Paul was doing here that was out of the will of God. He was in the will of God. Can I tell you one reason why adversity comes to people who do right? Because it came to Jesus Christ. And he said in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, he said to his disciples, are the servants better than the Lord? Well, the obvious answer to that question is no. We're not better than our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, guess what? If the world hated you, if the world hates you, you remember it hated me before it hated you. One of the reasons adversity comes to us is because we're followers of Jesus Christ. Adversity came to Him. And when you strike out on a path of serving God, adversity is going to come. Trouble, trials, difficulties, setbacks.
It's going to happen. God's not mad at you. He is not angry with you. He's not trying to thwart your growth. God is, you don't have to pout. You don't have to put your thumb in your mouth and suck your thumb like a baby. You don't have to do that. Adversity comes to people who are doing right. It's a part of the Christian life. It's part of it. It came to the Apostle Paul here and when he was stoned in Lystra. Number two, let me say this morning. Look at verse number 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Whoa, stop. Whoa, man. He did what? He went back into the city? What did they just do in that city? And he's going back in there? Look down at verse number 22, or 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. So he gets, he's stoned. They think he's dead. He rises back up. He goes right back into the place where they just stoned him. Then they go down the road to Derbe. He preaches there, and he doesn't bypass Lystra. He goes right back through Lystra again. What the lesson is in this, folks? Overcoming adversity requires courage. It requires courage. The Apostle Paul here had some courage. You know, this took an element of human courage. Physically, Paul was not a spectacular specimen of manhood. The Bible says he was short of stature, he was humpbacked, he had poor eyesight, and he had a contemptible voice. A squeaky old voice. Physically speaking, he was not the Incredible Hulk. He wasn't anything close to it. But brother, something Paul had that a lot of big guys don't have. He had an inward courage that proved in many ways what muscles cannot prove. Muscles are no indication of manhood. It's what's on the inside. I don't care how much, baskets you can shoot into the hoop, how much weight you can lift, how fast you can run. Those athletic things, they don't prove anything about manhood. What proves manhood is courage. Courage. This guy went up and went right back into the city that he just was stoned in. Muscles don't make men. Courage does. Somebody said, often the test of courage is not to die, but to live. Did you hear that? Often the test of courage is not to die, but to live. Seneca said this, sometimes even to live is an act of courage. You know what the easy thing would have been for the Apostle Paul? The easy thing would have been for him to not go back into Lystra, to run, to sneak away. But Paul came right back into the very jaws of death. I submit to you, that showed courage. Let me ask you a question. Do you possess courage? Do you possess courage? You say, what is courage? Webster's dictionary defined it as bravery. The quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness and without fear. Let me ask you a question. When they laughed at you at work because you told them that you got saved, did you seal your lips or did you have the courage to go right back in the next day and be the same man? When your family laughed at you, when your friends laughed at you, did their laughter silence our voice? Did their making fun rob us of our Christian testimony? Friend, that's not courage. Courage is facing this thing without fear, facing this thing with firmness. Every time adversity comes into your life, don't be courageless. Be courageous. It's very important. All through the Bible, Moses said, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua said, be strong and of a good courage. Joab said, be of good courage. David said, be strong and of a good courage. Shechaniah said, be of good courage. Isaiah said, be of good courage. It takes courage to overcome adversity. It takes courage to overcome it. Did you have a setback? Did you have a difficulty? Did you have a trial, a test come into your life? Face it with courage. Face it with courage. Courage to stand for God against those who laugh. courage to be faithful to God in the face of adversity. Do you and I have the courage to be faithful in the face of adversity? So, man, if I come to church, people are going to ask questions and people are going to want to know and da da da. Face it. Face it with courage. Courage to face disappointment and setbacks. Courage to put one foot in front of the other and keep going even when you don't feel like it. God wants us to have courage. I get books given to me by Brother Vineyard about war. He's an old ex-Green Beret. He gave me a book years and years ago called SOG, S-O-G, Studies in Operation Groups, about the covert war in Cambodia and Laos before Vietnam. And I'll tell you what, friend, that book, it's incredible, fellas. I was amazed at the acts of heroism and courage on behalf of our soldiers over in a place where our nation didn't even know they were. They didn't know they were there. It was undercover. Covert. And I mean rescuing wounded soldiers, by the way. You pray for Mike Colesby. He's on our prayer list. Todd and Tammy's oldest son was injured in Iraq this week. Was near a roadside bomb, and then in the chaos that followed, a semi-truck hit the truck he was riding in, and he was injured. Thank God he's going to be landing. He's probably at Walter Reed Hospital right now over in Washington, D.C. And thank God, God spared his life. Amen for that. I mean, here are these soldiers. They put their lives in danger. They put themselves in the face of live ammunition to try to rescue a wounded soldier. In some cases, they did that trying to get the dead body of a soldier out. Just to get his dead body out. Flying in these helicopters, and I mean in the face of grave danger, the courage of these men rose. And boy, they had faced that adversity in wartime situation with an unbelievable courage. And many of them never were honored by our government because it was covert activity. They never were. They didn't receive the Purple Heart or the Medal of Honor or the Silver. No recognition. But they were courageous. Oh, that God's people would have courage in the face of adversity. Folks, you can put a smile on your face and you can thank God for His blessings and you can face tough times with a good attitude. Just use some courage. Use some courage. Adversities do not make the man either weak nor strong. They reveal what he is. That's what somebody said. Adversities do not make the man weak or strong. They reveal what he is. And let me say this thirdly this morning. Adversity always, and this is the best part, everybody's going to face adversity, even when you do right. And you can overcome adversity with courage. And here's the best thing. Adversity always includes deliverance. Always includes deliverance. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I told you we'd be there. So now I want to show it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because here's what Paul's own testimony was later on, years later, when he wrote to his preacher boy, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go there in your Bible. And verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Adversity always includes deliverance. It always does. He said here in verse number 10, let's start there. 2 Timothy 3 and 10. He told Timothy, Paul did, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I like that, friend. Out of them all, I'm going to the pulpit, Mike. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Adversity always includes deliverance. It always does. Now, I want you to look at one thing. Oh, this is very necessary. Look what Paul said. What persecutions I endured. And then the Bible says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Let me ask you, which came first? What came first? Endurance. What came second? You know what happens to us? We face a little adversity. We crumble. We go backwards. We don't endure. And then we blame God for not delivering us. Well, I hit a hard time. God didn't come through. Did you endure? I never cease to get amazed, folks. People have a hard time, and the first thing they want to do is skip church.
I suggest to you that's not enduring. I don't mean if you're sick. If you're sick, you can't come. Contagious disease. You can't come. I'm talking about other things. They suffer a setback, so I'm just not going to church. Until God turns this thing around. Can I suggest to you God probably not going to turn that thing around? And deliverance is based on what? Endurance. You've got to stay faithful. You've got to have the courage and, excuse me, the guts it takes to stay faithful in the face of adversity. And every time you and I endure, God will deliver. God did not intend for the adversity to conquer Paul. He intended for Paul to conquer the adversity. And then he brought the deliverance. You see, God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them, to build you. Somebody said anybody can hold the helm when the sea is calm. But it takes endurance to hold the helm while the storm is raging. God delivered Paul after Paul endured. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know what? Listen very carefully. We got a church. Brother Don said he came down last Sunday morning early from the teen church. And he said, Pastor, I hadn't been down early for several weeks. He said, I could not believe the people I don't know. There's a lot of new people. And that's good. And a lot of newly saved people. But let me tell you something very, very carefully, friend. If you're going to grow in this thing of the Christian life, adversity is going to come to you. And sometimes it's not going to be fun. You just got to grit your teeth and endure difficult times. Just endure. Grit your teeth and get through it. If it comes from a friend, if it comes from a family member, if it comes from a fellow worker, if it comes from another source. If you endure adversity, grit your teeth, set your face like a flint, and just get through it. Endure. And when you endure, God will deliver. He will. He'll get you through it. He promised it. Paul said, you remember that list we read in 2 Corinthians 11? What does our Bible say? Well, God delivered me out of all but three of them. Well, God delivered me out of all but one. There was only one time God didn't deliver me. What did Paul say? Out of them all, He delivered me.
Amen.
Sure He did.
Amen.
But Paul endured. He had courage. He reached down, he grabbed some of his courage and his intestinal fortitude, and he gritted his teeth, and he said, I don't enjoy this. It's not fun. I'm not laughing. I'm not having any pleasure in this. But I am not going to let this thing set me back spiritually on my growth in grace. I'm not going to let that happen. And get with it. Endure the affliction. God will deliver you if we endure. If we endure. Paul said, I endured. And God delivered. Paul was faithful to endure. God was faithful to deliver. Now let me ask you a question. Are you in the midst of adversity right now? Are you in the midst of adversity right now? God will deliver. He will deliver. Well, how? I don't know. I'm not God. That's our problem. We want Him to answer us. We want to answer for everything we got. Well, how? Well, why? Well, how come? Well, when? Excuse me, but God doesn't check in with us at the beginning of the day. We check in with Him. Now, I don't know when, and I don't know how. If you'd asked Daniel how he was going to escape that lion's den, I don't think he would have known that God was going to put him all to rest before he got down in there. I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would ever have guessed that God would have appeared and walked in that fire with them. You know what that could do? How? Why? Well, when? That's not for us to know. You know what for us to do? Just be faithful. Be faithful. Now, this applies to individuals. This applies to families. This applies to churches. I mean, brother, you're going to hit
times of adversity. Listen to me, Faith Baptist Church, as a corporate body of believers, if you think a church's life ministry is always going to be smooth sailing, you're mistaken. You're going to hit bumps and rocks. Oh, my goodness.
Ben called the other day, flew into North Carolina for a missions meeting. He said, Dad, it was awful. Came in on that plane. You ever been in one of those situations? Up and down, up around. These people were getting sick all over the place. And the pilot tried to land, and as he was trying to land, he pulled out, and he circled the airport two or three times, and he tried to come down again, and he hit the turbulent, and then tried to land again, pulled out again, went 60 miles south down to some place in South Carolina, landed, and set the airplane in the 89-degree heat with the engines off for 60 minutes. And the smell of all those people being sick in that plane. He said, I sat like this for 60 minutes. They wouldn't let him off the plane. Finally took that thing off and landed it up in wherever it was, North Carolina, Charlotte, I think. Huh? Now look, on your road, on your race in this Christian life, it's not going to be like a sea of glass all the time. It's not going to be that way for you personally. It's not going to be that way for your family. It's not going to be that way. It's where families break up. So, well, they're such a happy family. They've never had to go through anything. That's why they're a happy family. They've gone through it. And what happens to families? They hit rough waters and boy, people start bailing out of the ship. Sure. Get through it. Adversity was not made to conquer you. It was made to make you better. Get some courage. Face it and endure. And God will deliver. That is His promise. That is His promise. When the road gets rocky, are you in the rocks this morning? Is the road rocky this morning? Endure. Endure until God delivers. Amen. Like Paul did. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. Now, before I pray, let me ask a few questions. Who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. At this point in the game, friend, do not be dishonest with yourself. You can't fool God. You can't pull the wool over His eyes. So just be honest with yourself. Who would say this morning, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I go to heaven. I know it. Would you lift your hand, please, as a testimony to that? Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here who says, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know if I go to heaven or hell. I don't know, and I'll be honest. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? If you don't know where you'd spend eternity, God bless you. Somebody there with a hand up. All right. Somebody else, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else is born, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure where I'm dying, not sure where I'm going when I die. See a small child's hand, somebody else. Listen very carefully. If you're not sure that you're saved, as soon as the music begins to play, you leave your seat, come right down here where Brother Caleb is standing in front of the pulpit here, and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. We'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. I need you to come to Christ. Don't put it off. You want to know where you're going to spend eternity. You want it to be the right place. Somebody else say, Pastor, I've been saved, but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? Saved, but not baptized since you've been saved. God bless you. If you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we've talked to you about it. Now's the time to come. Step out right now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed while nobody's looking. Come follow the Lord in believer's baptism while we wait. Get you ready this morning to follow the Lord. All right? Somebody else? God bless you. Would you come this morning? And now's the time. And I think they're bringing her. Yeah, okay. We have what's coming from Junior Church, too. Eric got some coming. All right. Very good. Anybody else? Now, if you're not saved, first step is not baptism. The first step is salvation. Once you've been saved, the step is baptism. Out of obedience. All right? Out of obedience. Anyone else? Anyone else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. A couple of young folks from Junior Church. Good. Get those back. Get them ready. Now, let me ask this question. If you're saved, baptized, you've been visiting here, you talk to somebody here about joining the church, we'd be glad to have you come and join this morning. Or maybe you need to talk to us about it. Be happy to do so. Set up an appointment with you to discuss becoming a member of Faith Baptist Church. Now, let me say this. I wonder who's going through some adversity this morning. When the road gets rocky, Paul got stoned. Paul got stoned for doing right. Paul got stoned for doing right. Then he showed courage. He went right back into that city. And then he endured. And because he endured, God delivered him. And friend, it's going to be the same for you. Who'd say, Pastor, maybe you know it, maybe you don't know it. But the road's been a little rocky recently. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand? High in the air. There's a bunch of hands. I know about some situations. I don't know about all. God bless you. Pastor, I need courage. I need faithfulness. I need to get through this. I need endurance. Pray for me. Anybody else? If you raise a hand, say, I need. All right. God bless you. All right. Somebody else? Good. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Invitation time is a time for you to acknowledge that God spoke to your heart. I would never get out of the habit of visiting an old-fashioned altar. I don't care if I've been saved 3 months or 3 years or 30 years. If God speaks to my heart, I'm going to the altar. I do it here. I do it at other churches when I'm listening to somebody preach. I want to acknowledge if the Spirit of God is kind enough, sweet enough, pleasant enough to speak to my heart, then I want to acknowledge that. And if the road is rocky, it's not time for somebody to sit in judgment of somebody else. If you're worried about what people think, you got a ways to go. Get on your knees and let God help you. And the best place to start is at an old-fashioned church altar. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a minute. We're going to have prayer. I'm sorry. Lord, bless the invitation and help folks this morning. Bless people that need to be saved. Bless folks that need to be baptized. And God, my heart wants to help people. I didn't know that brother was going through a rocky time. Told me this morning, he said, boy, it's been rough, been a little rocky. God, help us to have courage, endurance, and faithfulness. And I know you'll deliver. Bless us today. Please help us in Jesus' name. Now our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies are playing. If you need to come, use the altar this morning. Step out. Would you come? If you need to be saved, would you come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, why don't you come? Have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Would you come? Would you come? Adversity. Adversity. You're going through it right now. That's what it comes to new Christians. It comes to faithful Christians. It comes to folks who've been saved and living with the Lord a long time. Would you come? Have some courage. Bear up. And endure, and God will deliver. No doubt about it. Endure, and God will deliver. Would you come? Would you come this morning and let the Lord speak to your heart? Many have come and prayed together. That's wonderful. Husbands and wives, many of them this morning. That's wonderful. Best thing in the world. Just endure it. While we wait, would you come this morning? Lord, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning. I hope and pray it was a help. I thank you for the many that responded. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to face adversity with courage and endurance, looking for your deliverance. Help us to be faithful, I pray. And I know, Lord, I know you'll come through. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Thank you for the book. Thank you for what it teaches us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Look.